Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Bryony Loveday, who is a health and fitness trainer who helps people make peace with food, exercise and their bodies, building their true inner strength to become a bolder, brighter and better version of themselves. She's also a really good friend of mine and someone who I adore. Thank you for being here, Bryony.
Thank you so much for having me. It's going to be an absolute pleasure.
Aww. It's just really nice to be in a position where we can find, you know, soulmate people, our soulmate tribe, if you like, on the internet and in mastermind groups or on Instagram or wherever, and just find them and then be like, oh, I love you. I feel like I know you. Let's be friends. Yeah. And so it feels really fun and good to have you in my world. So yeah, just going to be all gushy at you.
Well received. Thank you. Yeah.
What does being an adult mean to you or for you?
Good question. For me, being an adult is being able to make decisions in alignment with what you want whilst listening to your mind, your heart, and what your soul desires. Mm-hmm. And being able to make decisions that bring them all forward from a place of groundedness, from a place of being centered, and from a place of being true to what you actually desire to do with your life. And I think that sometimes these decisions and sometimes the situations and sometimes the actions that you have to do to bring them all through are not always easy. They're not always simple. They're not always logical. But being able to ground down into yourself and bringing that forward to the table day in, day out, to me, that's what an adult is being. And it might not always look clean and tidy, but being able to be grounded in that and go forth, for me, that's what being an adult is.
So tell me a little bit about how you ground down, how you kind of connect into that place. You said it's something that you feel like gets to happen daily. And I'm really interested, like, is that through exercise? Is that through meditation? Is that like how, and has, is that something that you've always been able to do, or is it something that you've learned to do?
Yeah. It's something I have done for a long time. It's not something that I actually did consciously back in the day. But when I realized what I was doing, I made it very conscious. So for example, I like connecting with different parts of me. So, and at the same time, it's kind of all one part. So for example, you know, I'm big into the training or just moving your body. It doesn't mean I have to be like, right, I'm scheduled to do my exercise right now. It's just some kind of way to move and wake up your body and release whatever's been trapped in there from the day before or the weeks, months, years before. So that's one way of grounding it, even if it just means like jumping flat footed on the floor for a little while, shaking your body or breathing, some way to wake that part up. Another part, again, like you mentioned before, is some kind of meditation, which kind of in a way grounds your mind and your soul and your spirit kind of together. And so that's something that I like to do, and I do it multiple times during the day. And I think that sometimes we can get lost in one part and then we forget about the other parts, and then that's sometimes when you get kind of a bit lost or you get a bit of friction sometimes. Whereas what I like, by connecting and bringing all these elements, you actually feel so much freer and so much more grounded, because you can meditate until the cows come home, but if you're not grounded in your body, you might feel a bit kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of in my mind still. Whereas, and you might just be really into going to the gym, but you've got no grounded in your kind of mental and emotional state, then again, it can be a little bit lost. So there's some of the things that I do. And I also like to keep it spicy. I got into a bit of a rut a few years ago where you can be doing, like, in inverted commas, like, good things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, I've got to go for my daily walk in nature, and then I've got to go home and, like, journal and, like, all these kind of things. But I find sometimes that staying in those cycles can be quite trapping. And just because we've labelled it as, like, oh, but it's good to journal, it's good to go and walk in nature, when you get stuck in those cycles, like, your brain and your whole, you know, consciousness just gets trapped and it gets very rigid. And if you're wanting to kind of call in new things and bring in new stuff into your life, it is a case of breaking those things down and literally waking up going, like, what do I feel like doing today? Like, sometimes that might be, like, you know, going to lift weights. Sometimes that might be just like, I just want to sit here quietly for a little bit. Sometimes, yeah, it might be going for a walk, whatever it is. But I think keeping lots of different things active during your days and weeks, it helps kind of clearing the channel, as it were, and then bringing new things in.
We're very aligned on that. And I really love it. I really love having like a menu of things that I can do to call myself home and to, as in kind of your words, I suppose, to ground into my physical body and to being human and to staying present and connecting to my inner wisdom as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. A menu. I like that. a menu of things. Yeah, a menu is really, really important. But also within that menu, there can be lots of different refinements.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, journaling, there's so many different types of journaling that you can use. Like, sometimes it could literally be a purge. Like, I'm just going to purge out, like, whatever is feeling stuck and trapped. That kind of journaling session looks way different to, like, vision work.
So, I think that's really important. If you take it back to the menu thing, right, it's like saying I have ice cream on my menu, right, I have journaling on my menu, but some days you're going to want lemon sorbet and other days you're going to want Haagen-Dazs, and both have a place. And I love that I'm now comparing the things that we can do to keep ourselves well to dessert. But it's really true, right? Like, so often people say, oh, I'm going to meditate, or oh, I'm going to journal, without going, well, what flavor, right? Like, yes. is it chocolate or is it vanilla? Like, what is it that you need today? Is it like witnessing yourself meditation? Yes. Or is it visualizing meditation? Or is it just presence and purging and letting everything go meditation? And there are, like you say, so many types. And I think it's very easy to get into, just like you said, like, into a rut of prescribing ourselves and then just taking them as if they were medication, rather than really being present and intuitive. Like, what do I feel like today? What's juicy? You said spicy. For me, it's always juicy. It's like, what feels good? What's pleasurable in this moment? And coming back to pleasure and leading from, and I reckon you can talk on this for a little bit, but leading from pleasure and reward rather than from fear and punishment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, pleasure and reward. And I think sometimes the word like pleasure is sometimes looked like, oh, pleasure, it's kind of seen as something a little bit bad, it's a little bit dark kind of thing. We're actually like, where did that come from, kind of thing. And we're actually, especially like society, like the fear and punishment is something we're so much more used to. We're so much more used to, like, that fear and punishment. We have to do this, and it has to feel kind of like heavy sometimes, and that's normal, as it were. And actually, like, when you come from a place of pleasure, and you use the word joy, it does get to be so much more simple and so much more easy. And also, I love what you, just going back a little bit, said about the different flavors of, like, journaling, for example. Like, we can be, again, completely sometimes lost, where we're like, oh, I've just got to focus on my big vision. Oh, I'm not doing enough big vision work. I'm not doing enough kind of, you know, all this sort of stuff. But actually, the thing you might need to look at is the fears. Mm. Like, if you're not looking at those fears around it, then they're just going to be bubbling away in the background and not actually paying attention. Oh, you've got to do more big vision work. Like, what about the other side of it, you know?
Yeah, there's a reason it's not coming in. The reason it's not coming in is there's a shit ton of resistance that you're unwilling to look at, and you're going, I'm just going to positive it in. No, nothing ever got built out of just being positive, right? Like, there's work, in inverted commas, to do, which is to face and embrace the fears that you have, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's, again, sometimes it's seen as linking back to what you said about fear and punishment. It's like, oh, but I can't look at those things because those things are like bad and heavy and dark and I don't want to talk about them. It's like, that's exactly the shit you need to talk about. Sort of thing. And you know, it came from somewhere, it served the purpose. And some of them, what I've also experienced, I don't know if you've experienced this, but more often than not, when I'm laughing now, it's funny, but when I have actually looked at some of my fears and some of my like beliefs, limiting beliefs, stuff that we all have, they're actually laughable. Like, but you don't know it's there until you bring it to the surface. I'm like, I actually believe this. This is ridiculous. But as soon, and that's something that I do a lot of in my trainings and when I'm working with clients, is I like to bring humor and like lightness to sometimes things which are quite dark and heavy, because I see that as a way of healing it. Yeah. And it's not necessarily going down and going like really dark and like all these fears and all these, you know, when it comes to, you know, if you're changing relationship with food or your body, whatever it is, actually you can bring them to the surface and actually kind of have fun with them a bit. You're like, oh, I actually believe that. I've told myself that for 10 years. Like, where did this come from? And then it's like, as soon as you bring light to it and you bring some kind of, you know, playfulness to it, some fun to it, some like, not make a joke out of it, but bring some humor to the table. It's like, oh, when those things then come up, then you actually laugh at yourself in the moment. Like my client said it so many times now, that they will have a recurring pattern, recurring situation, let's say to do with food, for example, and they see the pattern coming up, and they've, in the moment, wherever it is, in the kitchen, supermarket, in a restaurant, they've actually laughed, like full-blown laughing. So what's funny? Nothing. That was just my mind. Because the pattern comes up, and as soon as you've attached humor to it, it's funny. And it's like, well, you've taken away its power then. You don't have to.
Well, and more than that, you've shifted the vibration, right? So previously, it was a heavy vibration of like, I am bad, or this is wrong most of the time, right? Like it's a negative thing that's dragged your vibration down. And so you're trying to decision make from a low vibrational set point. And as soon as you can insert humor, it transmutes it and alchemizes it, because suddenly you're laughing, which means that you've raised your own vibration to a place where you're able to make a decision from a much higher set point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It links again back into this fear and punishment. Fear and punishment situation, where it's just, you know, when you're in this place where you have a repeating pattern and there's lots of fear and punishment and I've been really bad and I've been really wrong, and like you said, it's like that vibration of it, which is just so kind of like down here, then as soon as you've injected that lightness and that humor to it, then it's just like, oh, well, I don't actually have to do all those things that I've been doing for the past 10 years. And actually, oh my goodness, it does get too easy. Mm-hmm. That's what people say, like, I always kind of at the beginning start to play with and flirt with the fact that actually, you know, eating habits can be easy, for example. And people kind of look at me like I'm mad when I say that. And I was in that same situation. But I was like, as soon as you start bringing some humor and some lightness, you change the vibration of it, then it gets to be easy. And it's those kind of real things underneath the surface that you get to look at. And as soon as that comes up, then it's like, and then they get their message in the group sometimes. They're like, now I know what you mean by it being easy. I'm like, okay, yes. Now we're there. Now we're there.
I love that. And I think it's really important. Like one of the first questions, so I personally love working with a fitness trainer. Like it's been something, you know, I'm motivated by hanging out with other people. It gives me something to be accountable for. Like it's a values match quite often for me. Like I have never enjoyed, up until recently, actually, I have never enjoyed exercising alone, right? It felt like punishment I had to do on my own. And I was obviously the last person picked. And so I was like, just having to do this stuff on my own, la la la. And having really changed that story, like now I get to go and listen to audiobooks while I'm doing my thing. And it's like, oh, it's my special space where no one else can like interrupt it. And I really enjoy it. But it's been a process of shifting that. So when I work with a trainer, I like one of my questions is always like, are you someone who's gonna like shout at me to do things, right? Like that. Some people really enjoy the like boot camp vibe, right? I think they're sadists, but some of them really enjoy being barked at, and that kind of, you know, fear and punishment vibe. Whereas I really like people who are like, oh, then we can do this and it's going to be really fun. And can you do that? And like, should we hang on those bars? Can you do this thing? And it's, I just want people to know that this kind of training is available, right? Like, you can play. It doesn't have to be go stand on a treadmill or like give me do like I never want to do a burpee again in my life, so I don't have to.
Exactly. Oh my god, you don't understand how much I love what you just said then, because this is something that like when I'm training one-on-one with people, this is what I say to them. I was like, it does get to be enjoyable. Like, for me personally, not everyone would agree with me with this, but I always go for enjoyment first. I'm an amazing trainer, but I always go for enjoyment first, because when you enjoy it, you're consistent. When you're consistent, you will get results. Unless you're training like, you know, completely doing strange stuff, you'll get results. A lot of the time people go for the results. Like, I want the results, and therefore it's going to be hard. It's a punishment. And, you know, shout me, I've got to push me to do this. But then you don't enjoy it, really, a lot of the time. And then you don't get, if you don't enjoy it, you're not consistent. So there's a whole paradigm, I think, about results and enjoyment that needs to change. And I personally, back in the day, I thought I enjoyed exercise. Like, I thought I enjoyed it. And I thought I enjoyed the hardness and, you know, getting the results and the rest of it. When I completely let all that go, that was when I actually understood what enjoyment meant with exercise. And it is a totally different vibe. Almost, that's what my clients said. They're like, I enjoy our session so much. I look forward to coming to the gym. I look forward to training with you, because they've never had that. Like, never had that. And as soon as you can have that enjoyment and training as an attachment, then you've got it for life. Like, I'm all about the long-term game. I don't understand. For me, it doesn't make sense to do something for 6 weeks. Like, and if you enjoy something, you're going to do it long-term. You're going, and you were going to get results. It's like, you couldn't not get results, like, if you're consistent with it. So yeah, it's a real, real big thing for me.
And I think it's really important. And like, I think it's really important that we're having this conversation, that people hearing it, because I don't know that some people even realise, because I was one of them, that there was an option of it being enjoyable, right? Like, I spent so much time, my whole journey with my, like, learning to listen to my body and have an embodied relationship has been long and complex and continues and is not going anywhere, right? And I also think that that's true for everybody. And just when you think you've got a relationship and you understand it, your body gets older or something changes, or you what used to work for you doesn't work for you anymore because your hormones have shifted or whatever it is, right? So it's an ongoing thing. But really getting, really understanding that you get to work with someone, right? And that, it, again, this is another situation where I feel like people give their power away, where they're like, hi, you are an expert, you are a personal trainer, or you are a fitness trainer, or whatever, and I'm going to pay your money, and you're going to tell me what to do, and if it doesn't work, then I can blame you, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than being in a situation where you're like, oh, I'm an empowered human who understands my own body and is willing to, like, have a relationship and listen to myself and be empowered, and I want to work with you because you are an expert in this, but you're not an expert in me, and to together we'll find something that works. And I love that you and I are, like, on par with this.
Totally, 100%. Oh yes, 100% about that, because it's true. Like, as soon as you move out of this short-term quick fix and you move on to this long-term lane and you really start going for that and thinking, well, you know, it's not, my body's just not a vehicle to give me happiness because I believe I'm going to be happy when I get to a certain weight or a certain size, or it's like, no, this is a relationship, and this is something that you cultivate it over years. Your body changes. It's allowed to change. It's allowed to change. And when you come from that space, like, all the stuff that we previously paid attention to, like, I had a massive attachment of weight loss and exercise. I had this bind of weight loss and exercise, and I hated it. I hated it. And I was a PT. So when I realized, actually, I don't want to have this attachment anymore, I actually want to use training and exercise for much more than that. And as soon as I create a new bind to it, then it just became so much more easy. It's become so much more consistent. And again, like when you have that approach with it, you're going to get the results. You're going to get the results, but it actually becomes so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. So for me also, like training, and this is again, like what, one of the things I really love about the way that you help people build inner strength to become bolder, brighter and better versions of themselves. It's like one of the things that lifting really did for me, and I'm not lifting at the moment, but I really was for a long time. What lifting really did for me was build my mental capacity. You know, like there is nothing better than deciding you're going to lift it, right? Like it's really good for inner strength, for conviction, right? Like if you are someone who's really struggling with conviction, go and lift heavy, right? Because at some, like you cannot lift heavy until you fucking decide you're going to. And people always say to me, but you've got such great conviction. I'm like, yeah, I went and lifted weights, right? And then it's like, oh, I'm working on something else right now. Like right now I'm really working with my kind of femininity, my sensuality, and all of that. So it makes much more sense that I'm exploring other areas of fitness.
Definitely, because like you said, I could geek out hard about this stuff, like the background of all this between masculine and feminine exercise and what weightlifting does to your physiology and also your hormones and all different types of things. I could geek out about that hard, but I'm not going to be a But it's exactly that. Like I see training and strength training in particular, it's a gateway. Like it's a gateway to so much more. It's not an end game. When you start to train, and you start to train effectively, and you have the balance between the higher intensity, the lower intensity, the masculine, the feminine, all of this stuff, what it does to your inner world, like your mental state, what it does for your decision-making, what it does for other areas in your life. And this happens time and time. And I would say like, I'm gonna say 100%, but almost 100% of people that I work with is, they start to change and develop a great relationship with food. They start training their body. They start getting stronger. It's like automatically another area of their life goes, me too, me please. Yes, and me please. Oh, over here. Yeah, I want to upgrade too. Everything starts going, well, you've done this. So why not let's look at that? And that's what I kind of moved into and developed a lot more now is that, you know, branching out. And it's not just about training. It's about like once you build your inner strength, it's like, well, actually, do you know what? I'm not happy in this part of my life, like whatever it is going on. And, oh, well, how do I get to change that? And what about this part? And how do I get to change that? And everything just automatically wants an upgrade because you've changed your internal environment. You've changed you. So no wonder everything else outside is going, oh, me too. No, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and one of the things that I find in my work time and time again, particularly with women, but it is true of everybody, and I'm somebody who, you know, thinks that gender's unhelpful mostly. I think that so many people don't know what they like and what they don't like, right? And they'll just do what they're told, right? Or they've been compliant. And what's hilarious about that is I work with misfits. And we are the most compliant people because we've spent our entire lives trying to fit in, right? And like, tell me the rules. Oh, I'm a chameleon. I'll just fit in. And we've got no idea what we really like. And so how can you be in a relationship and like enjoy and receive pleasure if you can't tell the other person what you like and what you don't like? Same with your body and with fitness and with working out. Like, how do you know what you like and you don't like until you start trying it with an attitude of, do I like this? Do I enjoy it? Like, and like for me, when you talk about ease, like that's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's so true. Like in when we come from a place of, oh, what do I like to do, and does this feel good to do, and not coming from kind of like a mind made up, like, oh, this is really hard. It's again having these binds, you know, these binds that exercise is hard and it's not going to be enjoyable. I'm going to have people shouting at me. There's like just release those binds completely and come from that place. What would I enjoy doing? Like what I still do this to this day. Like even now, like I started to do diving, like off, you know, diving boards sort of thing. Absolutely loved it. Never would have done like thought to do that until my friend was like, oh, about diving. I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. Because it's like it feels really exciting. Yeah. Like I'm not like, I'm gonna go diving because apparently it's really good for weight loss. That's what I think. Oh no. Like is it because you really enjoy it? Yeah, another thing you move into, like gymnastics, like whatever you feel feels good Just start exploring that.
I love that. I love that. So if people want to find out more about you and how they can work with you, the different courses and things that you're offering, where is the best place for them to go?
Best place is Facebook, Bryony Loveday, and also on Instagram, Bryony_Loveday, I believe it is.
The links in the show notes so everyone can click through and find it very, very easily.
Yeah, wonderful. Yes.
Thanks. Do you have an I'm a adult but?
I'm an adult, but this might sound ridiculous. I'm incapable of packing. Like, I know this sounds stupid, like it could be just an automated thing, like you put your clothes on before you go away and you put them in a bag. I have tried this. I've managed to pack like a whole bag of dirty washing before instead of like, don't get me started. I've kind of packed like woolly jumpers when I was going away abroad. I'm not sure what happens. Something, there's some kind of vortex that goes in, and I'm just very incapable of packing.
I'm a bit like that. I pack all my favourite things. I don't ever think, where am I going? What will I need? And I just don't. I think, what do I love? Okay, put it in a suitcase.
Yeah. I think I had quite a few bad packing experiences when I was younger, and it stopped me now packing. So now I don't pack anything. I like literally pack like 4 pairs of pants and like some shorts. So yeah, I usually just buy stuff from out there. But yeah, that's something that I am working on. Tracking.
What's mine today? I am an adult. But I run like Phoebe from Friends. And if you don't get that reference, I'm sorry. I used to be really embarrassed about it and really ashamed of it. Like I was somebody who I really like, I run with my head on one side, like I'm really wonky and I flail my arms, and it's and I think since reclaiming that part of myself and being like, it's okay to run like you're 7, I have funnily enough enjoyed it a lot more.
Yay! Exactly. Yeah. I was gonna say that I don't hold my pen properly. I literally hold it like a fist.
Like, how do you write like that? How?
It's more like that, and it's kind of very, very strange position. My family still take this at me, but
I realise that no one can see you holding your pen like that, but they can imagine how you are holding your pen. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been an absolute, absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on. Wonderful.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony, you have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.